Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second edition of the Super Squared Circle podcast. I am your super awesome main host, good old Super Marcy, and I'm joined by mean James Orrell. Hello.
Hello,
hello. Hello, hello. And that was not awkward whatsoever. We are not joined by Paul Hoffman, Paul the Body Hoffman, because he does not have a laptop and he's still waiting to get a new one. So hopefully he'll be back in the coming weeks. He hasn't been future endeavored or anything, so don't fear that, everyone. But we do have a special guest. And I'll introduce him because I'm sure he wants to talk. So please welcome Mike the Brain Bachelor.
Greetings one and all. Welcome. Oh, wait, that's my show. How's it going, boys?
Yay, I'm sick. Woohoo!
It is a pleasure to be here on the wrestling podcast.
Yes. I will warn everyone now. I'm sick. I've had the flu for like a couple of weeks, and before that I had like a really bad cold, so if I'm coughing and stuff, yeah, just ignore
it. Now, let's all be honest, I took Paul out and I'm taking his spot.
He gave him an unexpected chair shot.
Yes.
Yeah, he just took a beating in the back.
I dove off the balcony, and I was only doing it once, so I had to be on camera. But,
I was.
But only... I am here to deliver what I deliver, whatever the hell that is.
I was almost ready to start an Iron Sheik impression, but I'm not going to try. I was going to be like, I put him in the gummo clutch.
Make him humble. Just like my man Rusev. I'm so proud. Taking out all the jabronis. How over is Rusev? He's the man.
He's not that old. I don't believe Rusev is.
I picture Rusev being like Beavis and Butthead's favorite wrestler just for the theme. Dun, 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 dun.
That is like the funniest music ever.
Crush him! Crush! Crush! Crush him! Yeah! She's got boobs.
She does. Anyway. That'll segue into our first segment where we are going to discuss Payback and the Raw and SmackDowns since then. Payback has been a while, so I don't remember the show that well. I just remember like the Shield versus Evolution. What an awesome match it was. And tremendous. The Shield took out Evolution. I was, like, on my feet screaming. I put on my Shield t-shirt, and then I was crushed the next night.
Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
It was crazy. But rather than just talk about the one match, do we remember what else happened to Payback?
Blutista!
Yes!
Blutista!
That's right, Blutista.
The only thing that will make the chance they stop chanting Blutista, he is now forever Blutista.
He's Blutista.
I think somebody was ribbing him in the back, telling him that looks good.
No, they were all gonna. No, Dave, trust me, we're gonna wear our blue gear. It's gonna be cool.
Exactly.
It's the same joke that the Shield always used to tell Roman Reigns they were going to the one entrance, but they always ran to the other one.
So that was Blutista. God, how do I not remember the fucking matches of the show? Because it was a pretty good show too.
Well, a lot's happened since then.
It's true. I think I gave it a pretty like good rating just in general because it was a really entertaining show.
Yeah, there was not a bad match on the card.
We had like the pre-show with the shaving of Hornswoggle's head.
Tremendous.
He looked like Jason Voorhees when they were done.
He He did.
It's a shame that we had the mass firings because this thing had to lead to a mini Hell in the Cell.
Oh my god!
That would have been awesome.
That would have been the best damn thing I've ever seen.
The referee has to kind of crouch in the cell because it's not that tall.
No, they'd get a mini referee. Like, because they had, for the Wii LC, they had all mini people. Or should I say little people?
Mm-hmm.
The mini commentators, the mini ref.
I'm trying to think, was that offensive or was it awesome? To me, it was awesome.
It was awesomely offensive.
Should I be laughing at that? Anyway, let's try not to get too off topic, because I'm sick. I can't sit here all day. Just saying. we don't remember what happened to Payback, but it was awesome. But the big thing coming off of that was the following Raw.
Here in Indianapolis, Indiana.
And you were there.
When Love died.
Yeah. we had... whatever Triple H's plan B, and I'm thinking, oh, someone's gonna run in, and then all of a sudden, the one person you would never expect to do it did it, and Seth Rollins turned on his brothers. His business associates.
He beat the living crap out of them, too.
I love the segment with Ambrose's, what happened?
Yes, I had the look on my face was that guy that after the streak ended, his like shocked face.
Yeah.
That was my face. I'm like, I couldn't move. I was like completely stunned.
And that curb stomp to Ambrose on the chair.
Oh, that was nasty. Brutal. That was insane.
Oh, man. And Batista quitting earlier that night, too.
Yeah, so you thought, Evolution, you guys suck.
I'm gonna go be Drax in the movie and do the press. Meh.
Meh.
That's my Batista impression. I'm workshopping it. So.
The best part of his quitting was his little wave, and then it became a meme.
Oh yes. My god, who the fuck waves like that isn't, like, some British royalty?
It was hilarious.
That needs to be the every time a wrestler quits on TV, he needs to do the wave.
Yes. It should be like, you just have to do it.
The funny thing is, man, I mean, he thought that he was never going to live down Blutista, which was being chanted there, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then he goes and does that shit. Wow.
I'm not going to be able to watch Guardians of the Galaxy without thinking of Blutista and the wave.
I swear to God, I mean, like, I know a lot of people have had problems with Batista's return so far this year, but it's been just a comic gold mine. Skinny jeans.
And he split the skinny jeans.
Right.
It's okay. He's got big legs.
A man of his size should not be wearing skinny jeans.
No, you got him booed out the building of the Royal Rumble. You had this now.
I watched a bit of Batista's new DVD, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. He's like, yo, I thought the fans would be more receptive, and a little bit more respectful. Like, shut up, Dave.
I know, they showed the, like, commercial, and he's like, I don't care if I get booed or cheered. I'm like, dude, you fucking care that you get booed.
Yeah, he does.
Don't bullshit me with that crap, man.
He was giving fans the finger because he was getting booed when he was supposed to be getting cheered.
Yeah.
It's not Bully Ray heel good white heat. It's fuck you, go away heat.
Yeah, I mean, they brought him back at the worst possible time when Daniel Bryan was just, like, the hottest thing. It's been building up for months. Like, why the hell did you not have him join the Rumble and have him win? Honestly.
And then having Batista take over and win the Rumble on top of it, that's just... I still have never seen a crowd response quite like that.
Yeah, it was insane. And, yeah. Let's go back to the Seth Rollins thing. for me personally, that was one of, like, the best, like, turns, because it was so unexpected.
And everyone thought it was going to be Ambrose.
Everyone thought, like, Ambrose, because he's the crazy Ambrose one.
Yeah, he makes sense going, turning against him, because he's nuts.
But, no, you choose, like, the freaking ninja, and it's like, wait, what? Huh?
Did that just... I saw pictures of Batista, of Roman Reigns' back after that.
Oh, that was harsh, man.
I don't quite understand why he's still wearing the SWAT gear.
Yeah, this is... I think now's the perfect time to bring this up. And I think we kind of saw it, like, on Raw. Because I know it's hard to talk about, like, the last few weeks. But after Seth turned, like, he then showed up the following Raw. Because he still had his, like, SWAT gear on SmackDown. He showed up in, like, a full black suit. He explained his actions, which I can kind of understand and stuff from... like, making him, like, that kind of heel that's, like, you know, out for himself, you know, trying to please the bosses, whatever. But he was still, like, wrestling in his, like, Shield attire. And I was like, you know, oh, he's going to be on main event. I'm going to see, like, what he's going to wear. No, he still didn't change. And then he didn't change again. But on Raw, we sort of saw him with, like, his, with, like, the vest on at the start, but then when he had his match with Ziggler, he didn't have the vest, he just had, like, a nice tight shirt, his pants and boots. So maybe they're kind of changing it a bit. It suits him, but I don't think it suits the character they're building. They've given him, like, new music, which I like. I don't know if that's gonna remain.
Yeah, I actually like his new music a lot. I think it fits it.
But they have, like, as we saw in Raw, we've got, like, Dean Ambrose basically, you know, coming out in his jeans and.
That was John Moxley. That wasn't Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, exactly. So they've given him new music. And basically, with Roman Reigns, he's still got the same attire, the same Shield music, but they leave out the vocals at the start. So they're trying to, obviously, it's over, the Shield's done. They're just trying
Still comes through the entrance.
Yeah, they're trying to just...
through the crowd.
Yeah, they're trying to, like, separate them out now. Whereas, like, what was I going to say? Scott Hall. I meant to say Seth Rollins. my head's confused.
Hey, yo. Hey. Someone mention my name?
So Rollins comes out traditionally. But I don't know, I kind of wanted to see him in, like, trunks, and it's not because I wanted, like, a good view of that massive python he holds in his pants.
Don't lie, yeah, you did.
See, that's his tiny tights.
You know, I figured, like, that would make sense, but, yeah, I guess they just kind of confused as to what to do.
What they might be doing is taking, like, a slow burn approach on how they're changing him. I mean, a little bit at a time.
Yeah, I guess, like, you know, but, like, Dean Ambrose, like, full change, like, straight away. I'm like, okay.
It's okay, because Dean Ambrose is the modern Roddy Piper, so.
Oh, he's way different than Piper. I mean, no, I see the comparison, but he's like Piper on crack.
And that's a bad thing?
Oh, I didn't say it was a bad... Well, it's a bad thing for his opponents, but... I didn't say it was a bad thing for us. I love Dean Ambrose.
As long as he doesn't sing Sweet Caroline to the Ring, like that one video I sent Marcy earlier this week. I think that was some deathmatch show. And I think it was a rib they changed, like Moxley was coming to the ring and they had his theme as Sweet Caroline. He just went with it.
Funny.
He can do no wrong.
No. And I have been, like, rewatching some of, like, those guys against each other, like, FCW stuff from a few years ago. And I'm, like, so excited to see, like, you know, Ambrose Rollins face off. But it looks like they'll be facing off in a Money in the Bank match. But maybe they'll be saving, like, the big showdown for SummerSlam.
I can see that.
Possible, but at the same time, I mean, having the two of them in the same ring with the ladder.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be insane.
That's going to be nuts.
But there'll be, like, five other guys as well.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know, like, where the title situation is going, but I think they're obviously building up, like, Orton versus Reigns as well. And possibly so, Reigns versus Triple H.
I've got an idea for where it's going to go, but, I mean, it's a long shot. It's just the rumors I've been hearing. What I've been hearing is that the plan is still for Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan, and that to actually be a title match at SummerSlam.
Well, that's the thing with Daniel Bryan. He's so good in that underdog position because the money's always in the chase. So whoever's the champ at the end of Money in the Bank is just holding it till Daniel Bryan gets it again so they could do the Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan.
I mean, it could be entirely possible that Heyman turns on Cesaro, puts Brock Lesnar in that match, and Brock Lesnar wins.
It could be. I mean, I could see that.
Cesaro wins the Money in the Bank, and then he screws him over, so Lesnar gets the title.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I kind of think they dropped the ball, because, like, everyone is, like, loving Cesaro. Like, it made sense to have him as a face, but then they, like, kept him heel.
Yeah, I think so, too, I think that's going to make when he eventually does
I kind of think he's lost a bit of momentum that's finally, like, getting built up again.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, his matches against Sheamus are nothing but top-notch.
No, absolutely.
I don't really like Sheamus, but he's gotten good matches out of Sheamus.
I like Sheamus. I think he's improved leaps and bounds from when he debuted. I mean, I like a good, big, smash-mouth guy.
Too many lines.
Sheamus does that. Okay, I see what you did there.
What was I going? Yes, I was going to say, we have actually seen, like, some pretty good matches, like, over the last few weeks. I would say, like, the best match, I mean, we can talk about, like, the best match we've seen since Payback. I would say that big, like, Evolution Shield match was, like, one of the best matches we've seen. But the Ambrose-Bray Wyatt match from SmackDown last week was pretty awesome as well.
Luke Harper had a really good match with on Main Event too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hell, the Wyatts versus the Usos last week on Monday was really good too. Luke Harper, he's one of the more underrated wrestlers in the WWE, and Eric Rowan is really good too. He just doesn't get to showcase it as much.
I got a feeling they can easily make Eric Rowan the next Kane.
I could see that.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that.
He's a big dude, too, man. He is freaking huge.
Adapt, like, the goat mask to, like, a Muda kind of goat mask.
I could see that.
Where was I going to go? God, I can't breathe. So Money in the Bank, with the matches we've got so far, so we've got the main, like, title match, which has
anybody but Cena.
Yeah, so we've got Cena, Orton, Cesaro, Sheamus, Roman Reigns. Who am I forgetting?
Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto Del Rio.
Bray Wyatt.
And Bray Wyatt. Just say his name completely wrong. Look, seriously, this could go anyway. I'm not even gonna make a fucking prediction at this point.
Yeah, it's really hard to predict.
I prediction anybody but Cena.
Yeah, that would be good.
My prediction is if Daniel Bryan is going to be out for longer than they think, they're going to put it on Reigns.
That's my pick, too. That's easy money.
He's just building up. He's got a lot of good positive energy behind him right now, and he's a guy which I think the crowd really wants to get behind.
Yeah, the only thing I could see is perhaps, like, Bray Wyatt winning, and with the other matches, the tag team title match between the Usos and Eric and Rowan, and if they won the titles and he won the titles, that could be a pretty big deal right there.
So when I think we're all agreed the Wyatts are going to beat the Usos for the titles eventually.
I think they're going to beat them at Money in the Bank.
So
I have a feeling, yeah.
So the Usos, the latest members of the Cena Rub. Anytime Cena tries to get over or help somebody, tragedy falls.
Kind of buries them, yeah.
Yes. Mm. See example Zack Ryder, see Evan Bourne, see.
Yeah.
Now here's an idea for what could happen. I mean, this is just fantasy booking right here. Roman Reigns wins it. Seth Rollins wins the other. He challenges him that night, wins the title. Seth Rollins versus Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam.
That would be badass.
That'd be badass. But I really kind of want to see Wade Barrett win Money in the Bank because I want him to troll us for 3 months.
Oh, the bad news. Oh, man. He could troll us the hell out of us. That would be great.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news. I'm not using this tonight. You all fell for it again. You're all incredibly stupid. Yes, thank you.
That would be awesome.
I freaking love Bad News Barrett, man. I mean,
who the fuck knew that gimmick was going to take off? When I first saw it on Raw, I was like, what the fuck?
From a fucking YouTube show.
You need to watch the JBL and Cole show every week, man. That's where this stuff breaks.
It's hilarious, the stuff that goes on there.
Calling it now, they're going to repackage Heath Slater as Clem Mayfield.
Yeah, that's what I've said.
Oh, yeah, yep. I'm all for that.
I'm like,
that kick from Russo this week's enough to do it.
I'm like, are they gonna like clam him out now?
One more thing about Roman Reigns. Okay, are we meant that like he always carries the poopy pills in the pockets in his flak chest?
Well, he knew that he was gonna like be able to use like the diarrhea pills or vomit pills or whatever at some point, so he just had them on him.
Was it that or roofies? It was one or the other.
The way she was vomiting like that, I don't know. I mean, it could have
been gonna puke.
Yeah, that was disgusting.
That's Vince all over. Vince had to rate that segment.
Yes.
Oh, he had to be just off camera, just cackling at that.
And you had to tell me that wasn't one take. They had to do at least 6 takes of that.
Uh-huh.
Poor Vicky.
Oh, Vicky.
I gotta give Vicky props. I mean, she's a freaking trooper. She will take one for the team.
It's true. It's very true.
I've seen her thrown in mud wrestling against Santina.
Let's not talk about that.
How awesome has Alicia Fox been lately?
Insane.
Oh, she's been great.
Oh, the night
better than Cameron.
The night she mugged the main event commentary team. Give me your money. Give me your money.
When she gave that one dude the wedgie.
Yes.
The atomic wedgie.
I like that shit. Back in Lisa defense. Fox.
She's insane. Like, you know, you always knew that she had, like, talent, but now that they've given her something she can actually work with, it's insane.
And she's improved a hell of a lot in the ring, too.
She has.
I mean, she's got some good matches out of Paige. I mean, granted, Paige could have, I say this about a lot of wrestlers, but she could have a great match against a freaking broom.
Yeah, Damian Sandow's really improved, too, man. He's been tearing it up every week.
Oh my god, at Monday when he was here, you have no idea the kind of heat he had on him. I mean, I don't know how it came across on TV, but coming out as Lance Stevenson from the Pacers in Indianapolis, they lost.
That tag match with him and Fandango with the when he was in the unitard.
Oh god, that was disturbing.
That was fucking hilarious.
How the hell does he keep a straight face doing that? Like, oh my god.
I want to know whose wife he slept with, man.
I'm calling out him and friggin' Adam Rose will probably be a tag team eventually. He'll be the Jonah Hill. to Adam Rose's, what's his name?
Channing Tatum.
No, to, what's his name? The guy who, oh, get him to the Greek. Russell Brand.
Oh, Russell Brand.
Yeah.
Do that relationship with him where he's the money, he's the business guy. He's the straight guy to...
That could work. I could see that working.
Adam Rose has a lot in common with Russell Brand, to be honest. So, yeah, I could see that.
Damian Sandow, the ultimate lemon.
Absolutely. I mean, he needs more. Like, he's such a talented guy. He had Money in the Bank last year, for fuck's sake. Like, seriously.
Yep.
I mean, like, overall,
he made
like...
the mistake of trying to cash it in on Cena.
And they had a really good match.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went nowhere.
That match pissed me off so bad. I mean, just from the ring psychology of it all, I mean, Cena should not have won that match.
Oh, absolutely not.
Cena should not win any match. Humanoids.
My dream is for Cena to be, like, this insane, like, heel, but that'll never happen.
My dream is for Cena to die in a fire, but... Told you I'm a heel.
Yes.
Waffling with the tire iron. But still his wallet.
I can't be too mean to Cena, because, like, out of, like, the 1,000 times I've met him, he's, like, been the nicest dude.
Oh, yeah.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. That's a trap!
All right, Akbar.
Sorry.
Wow.
I turned into a calamari for a second.
This is what happens when you have me on your show, is everything just goes to hell.
That's
why I'm not on all the time.
Now, I want to bring up something real quick. NXT TakeOver.
Yes.
Yes, that is our next segment. But before we go there, like, I do want to say that I think, like, programming, like, lately in WWE has been pretty, like, fairly good. SmackDown, you know, it's, like, half good, half, like, 2-second matches. But, you know, I've been having a good time. But, yeah, we need to talk about NXT TakeOver, and it was fucking awesome.
Yay, yay.
Oh, man, there was not a bad match on that card. Not one.
Mm. The tag like the match show. Wasn't the greatest, but, yeah.
What's that?
I said the tag match. Was,
sorry, tag match.
Sorry, the tag match wasn't good. The greatest because the other two guys just didn't gel, really.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I love the Ascension. They are the next coming of the Road Warriors. I'm calling it. I think they're going to come in, and they are just going to whip the living hell out of anyone in their way. And I like that.
Kind of sad that, what's his name? The guy that's now Bram in TNA kind of burned out in the Ascension, because I liked him and, what's his name? As the original, Connor, yeah. As the original iteration.
Yeah, they were really good, but, I mean, honestly, Victor, he's... really impressed me. I mean, I love his just raw aggression. And he's not a bigger guy either. I mean, Connor's fucking huge. But Victor, I mean, he gives a European uppercut that would jack your jaw for sure. I mean, it's up there with Cesaro's.
What I think the best time to bring them up to the main roster is when they eventually turn the Wyatt's face.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, to be honest.
I could see that.
Yeah. Before we go on, we fucking forgot to bring up Stardust.
Oh, Stardust.
Cody Rhodes. That's my son, Cody. I'm so proud of him.
That was spot on.
Now, both my sons are wearing makeup and jumpsuits. I'm next. I'm going to be Dream Dust. And I'm going to have...
That would be the best if that ever happened.
My God. It's coming. Calling it now.
Grandsons of a plumber, my ass.
Oh my in the God. Oversized gold.
Could someone Photoshop that, please?
Oh my God.
And it just he looks like what? He's like Petey the dog, just gold and black on his eye.
Seriously, though, Stardust was hands down my favorite thing about Monday Night Raw last night.
Absolutely. And the crowd was like, what the hell?
I know. I mean, like, I was talking with both of you guys, actually, on Messenger when it was coming out. We were all had the idea that it was going to be Cody Rhodes somehow, but I don't think any of us expected
that. No, but I think what worked is he, like, embraced it fully, and he's, like, changed everything up. Like, this could
Cody's
be
Cody's a big comic book
so
guy, so
awesome.
He probably designed the unitard and the look and everything.
Probably.
Yeah, he didn't wrestle like Cody Rhodes. He wrestled more like Goldust.
Yeah.
He wrestled like Stardust.
This explains on the JBL and Cole show why Cody left the show.
Yeah, I was going to say. Like, I really think they need...
That explains a lot, really.
They need to, like, really run with this. Like, they really do. It's going to be, like, the best.
Originally, I was looking forward to the feud between the brothers. I don't want to see that now.
I thought Cody was going to go more like old school Cody with the mask, like don't look at me, that kind of thing.
Yeah. At least he didn't bring back a mustache.
Then he needs the mask and the mustache.
No.
That's the only missing from Stardust. He's got to grow the mustache back.
Wow.
That would be disturbing.
And when he revealed his face, though, I mean, that Joker's grin.
That, like, disturbed me. I was like, what the fuck?
That was creepy as hell.
Man.
I have this image in my head that Stardust sounds like Roger from American Dad.
Oh, man.
I think it's wrong that, like, Stardust kind of reminds me of Showgirls, because they had, like, you know, they performed at the Stardust Hotel, which no longer exists anymore.
I think he's wearing contacts.
Yeah,
he
is.
Definitely. Yeah. He's wearing red contacts.
Yeah.
We're creepy as hell, especially that grin. But then he started wrestling, and his wrestling style is totally different now.
Mm.
I love that. I mean, it complements Goldust so much better than as Cody Rhodes.
You know, I think that, like, I don't really think we wanted to see them feud. Like, I really didn't want to, like, I like them as a team, and I think it just works so much better. Breaking news, apparently on SmackDown, Seth Rollins has new ring gear, but we will see if that's accurate from the SmackDown spoilers.
It's about time.
We will see, because, like, when I was reading SmackDown spoilers and then I watched SmackDown, I'm like, they got that a bit wrong.
Yeah.
Breaking news on the Super Podcast. Seth Rollins has new gear. New gear for the former Shield man. Going down the road, listening to the podcast, me and Stone Cold. Sorry.
Oh, and here's one last thing about Stardust that I know Hunter, or I know Mike, you're going to appreciate this. Marcy, you will too. He uses the Diamond Dust as his finisher.
Mm-hmm. A Sato Tanaka finisher.
Dude, anytime you bust out Masato Tanaka, that is just awesome in my book. And considering its last name is Dust, I mean, why the fuck not?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
He nailed it pretty well.
I am really excited to see more of the Gold Dust Stardust team.
I'm a big fan of, like, tag teams actually looking like teams.
Yeah, this definitely does. Them, the Usos, the Ascension, the Wyatts. Honestly,
I'm still saying, Ryback needs to come to the ring in friggin' Zuba's muscle tees. And fanny packs. Think about it. How over would they be if they were like 1980s Road Warrior? Ribera jackets, Zuba's, fanny packs. That's their entrance gear.
Oh my god, man.
Just brother it up.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
I think the fanny pack needs to, like, come back in fashion.
Well, Mick Foley's big announcement was he's bringing back the fanny pack.
Yeah.
That was just...
That was the whole damn thing.
I guess since we're still talking WWE...
Successfully trolled the entire internet.
Yes.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
We should talk about, before we really get into NXT, the mass firing that was last week.
We will bring that up with more, like, news.
Okay, yes, sorry.
So, yeah.
NXT.
We'll focus just on, like, some NXT takeover. Okay.
Adam Rose versus Camacho. That was actually pretty good. I mean, it was the best match Adam Rose has had since the gimmick debuted.
I don't remember too much of it because it's been a while.
Well, it was also the weakest match on the show, if you ask me.
That's, like, at least, like, on the main roster, the thing that's annoying me is, like, Adam Rose just doesn't have matches. It's, like, 2 seconds and it's done.
Yeah, I don't like that. I want to see him in something a little more significant.
Which we will talk about after this.
Yeah. And Zack Ryder is the bunny.
Yeah, he is.
I'm sorry. Purely speculation.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn versus Tyler Breeze.
That was awesome.
What's the verdict on Tyler Breeze's new music?
I think it's hilarious.
His music video was like the worst thing I've ever seen, and it was amazing.
It was so bad, so it was so good.
It was.
I mean, I laughed my ass off at it.
I mean, like, that guy is, like, massively talented, like, as a wrestler. So his match and Sami Zayn's match was, like, amazing. It was really good. That was, like, edge of your seat stuff. I was like, what's gonna happen? Oh my god, whoa.
I guarantee nobody saw the finish coming.
No.
No.
That was like, I'm just gonna hit him in his, like, snake area.
I've seen low blows before, but I've not seen one quite like that.
Yeah, I think he would have been icing backstage, surely.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
But, you know, post-show, he managed to become a rosebud and dance it up a little bit. Which I loved, because it was awesome.
Dude, Sami Zayn, as far as I'm concerned, if there's one guy in the NXT roster that's ready to be called up today, it's him.
And we'll talk about that, too.
I love the tweet that he put out like this week. Yeah, I don't understand why the fans are chanting Olay, but I appreciate the support.
I'm going to have to go look at that tweet. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And I guess the Kevin Steen rumors keep getting stronger and stronger that he is WWE bound. And I am so excited to see Kevin Steen and Sami Zayn either together or feuding.
Anyway. I take whatever they give us with those two.
I just wish they would not change the name. Don't change the name. Let him be Kevin Steen.
They'll change the name. I mean, if they're not going to let him, Sami Zayn, be El Generico, they're not going to let him be Kevin Steen.
Oh, man. That's how you debut Kevin Steen. Sami Zayn on one of these live shows gets beat down by the Ascension. Then Steen comes to the rescue and watch that arena pop.
I would lose my mind. That would be great. Sami Zayn, like I said, he's ready for the main roster.
We are talking about main, like, who we think should be called up after this segment. So
okay,
we'll save that for then.
All right.
We also had most awesome women's match. With Charlotte and Natty.
One of the best I've seen all year. That was a classic.
They went for like 30 minutes.
That was up there with like Paige versus Emma level awesome.
My new favorite Ric Flair is pageant dad Ric Flair.
Oh my god, he was like amazing. I loved it. Him crying at the end was just like the icing on the cake.
And how Flair was losing his mind. Typical Flair throwing his jacket. While Brett was in the corner. 4 out of 10.
There's one thing to say about Charlotte. I mean, when she first debuted, she was very, very green.
Mm.
And that wasn't long ago at all.
Mm.
is like a year and a half, maybe 2 years at most. She has improved leaps and bounds.
Like, insane. Like, wow.
How she's evolving to become the dirtiest diva in the game. I want her to do all her dad's dirty tricks.
Yes.
I want to see her do the face plant flop.
Yes.
It's a shame that Ronda Rousey did the female horseman first.
What's that?
It's a shame that Ronda Rousey kind of did the female four horsemen first.
Yeah. Because
Charlotte could have easily had a lot of momentum with that.
Yeah, she could have. I mean, rather than the BFFs.
God, that's awful.
The BFFs are kind of falling apart, though, so.
Beautiful people! Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly. But, no, I mean, like, watching her escape from counter the sharpshooter into the figure four, that was actually a thing of beauty in professional wrestling. I've never seen it countered like that before. And it didn't look sloppy at all. I was seriously, that was the match that truly impressed me with Charlotte.
Yeah, it was insane. Like, you could see why they made it, like, against Natty.
Yeah. Are you sad that she's got, like, 50 times more wrestling ability than her brother?
She actually looks like a dad, which is kind of disturbing in a way.
Poor David Flair.
Go back and watch those matches on the network. They're pretty rough.
Oh, God, they're bad. Yeah, and she does look a lot like her dad, which isn't exactly the most attractive thing, if you ask me.
It's Did you guys see that Enzo's and Colin have a soft t-shirt now on Job Zone?
Nah, I didn't see that.
I'm so tempted to buy that.
Nice.
Said it before, I've said it again. I want Enzo to start calling out Brock Lesnar for months on NXT. Calling out soft Lesnar.
If Lesnar was never show up, he'd probably shit his pants.
And that's the end of the gimmick.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the main event of NXT, which was Adrian Neville versus Tyson Kidd.
Oh, that good was match. An instant classic.
Really good.
Right there. Those guys are, I mean, Adrian Neville, they call him the man that gravity forgot for a reason.
Dude is insane. Like, he's just an amazing guy.
And it's crazy that they passed on Ricochet because they already have flippy guys.
Yeah, that's true. That is kind of amazing that they did that. But his match against Tyson Kidd. Tyson Kidd's one of the most underutilized guys on the roster.
Which kind of makes like NXT the perfect place for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely helping the younger guys come up.
Do you think they could actually spin NXT off for like live events? Like go on tour with it?
I would like to see that, but I don't think that's in the plans right now because they're using it more as like a staging ground for before they actually get to the WWE.
I thought I was reading they had like a live event like this week.
But like do it more like smaller shows like Ring of Honor does, things like smaller like buildings.
Well, I know that they do in they have smaller shows like in Florida.
Yeah.
But occasionally they do take a few of them with them to work dark matches. Like Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville have had several dark matches the past few weeks, in fact. And if you YouTube those, man, they are definitely something worth watching.
Because I was reading, I don't think it was a taping. It was like an NXT, just a show. Because I was saying, like, Sasha Banks and the, I can't remember her name, the new one, had, like, Match of the Night or something.
Huh.
And I don't think it was a taping, because I think they've done the tapings.
I'm going to mark out when I watch the next set of tapings, and the first time I see Drake Younger as a ref in an NXT match.
There you go.
One of the most talented guys in the roster, and they're using him as a ref.
Yeah. That's... But. I don't get that either. But there's one thing I got to say about Adrian Neville. When he hits it to the WWE level, he's going to take off like wildfire for one simple reason. The Red Arrow.
Mm.
Yeah.
That has got to be the most impressive off-the-top rope move ever.
It is. It's insane.
I've never seen anything quite like this, and I've watched a lot of Japanese wrestling.
Yeah. My only fear is they don't treat him like Evan Bourne and Justin Gabriel. Just they got one move and then just take him to the mid-card.
Yeah, I think at least with Adrian Neville, he's got a little more going for him just based on his body shape.
I'd give him a manager. His
WWE likes. Yeah, give him a manager.
Because he can't talk.
Yeah, it's hard to make out what the hell he's saying because his accent's so thick.
Yeah, it's not a problem for me. I can understand accents. yeah, that was TakeOver A-plus show. Let's talk about Adam Rose and Bo Dallas, who've been called up. They kept the same gimmicks. What are we thinking? We'll start with Adam Rose. Anyone can go first.
I think Adam Rose is kind of at all he'll ever be right now. That's a spot. Early card, babyface, comedy act. I don't see where the character can evolve more past that.
Yeah, it's hard for comedy acts to really get high up in the card. Mm. But
he's the entrance.
The thing is, I mean, like, his entrance took off like wildfire in NXT, which is a much smaller arena.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't really taken off that way in most arenas. It did in Indianapolis, I'll tell you that much. The crowd loved it. They ate that shit up.
But it needs to get bigger and wackier and crazier and bigger and wackier.
And get some actual wrestlers to start partying with them. Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Or Rob Van Dam.
So many violations, so many wellness policy violations on that bus, by the way. Swagger's there, RVD's there.
Sabu's there, and he doesn't even work for the company anymore.
I'd join it, like, you know, for medicinal purposes, obviously.
Well, we do know that Zack Ryder's there. He's the bunny.
I think it's got to be revealed that he's a fucking bunny.
That's one of the best things about the JBL Cole show now, because they're doing a whole thing with Zeb is basically to be Yosemite Sam going after that rabbit.
That is funny. Actually, my favorite thing ever on that show, I have to put this on the thing, was just Cody and Barrett going, dollar bills.
Oh, yeah, Sami Zayn. Anytime Sami Zayn, he's just like, dollar bills. Or like 3 weeks ago when basically they're reading in unison with no expression in their voice.
Yes. Yes, of course. Yes, we know. Oh, that's just so horrible. It's totally not selling it.
Barrett was great this week, too, where he couldn't even bring himself to get bad news. I'm afraid I'm...
I swear, that's the best damn show they've got on YouTube. That show just cracks me up.
No way in hell does Vince know this is on TV.
No.
He has no clue that this is going on.
Or if he does... Well, he's a lot funnier than we thought.
I almost want this on the network as a half-hour show.
Dude, I would so watch that every week.
Just Alicia Fox hugging Goldust. I like you.
Seriously, I want my new catchphrase just to be dollar bills. Doing the little... Yeah.
My my new happy place I go to is the GIF of Sami Zayn dancing at the after show, the Takedown after show.
Yes.
Great.
Yes. He became a rosebud.
The best thing about that was the look on Paul Heyman's face.
Oh, he did not give a fuck.
I've seen, like, the memes where they've put his face as a lemon.
I like being a lemon. I made my career being a lemon.
See, I think that's the kind of thing, like, they really need to embrace, like, Adam Rose getting other people on board.
Yeah.
He needs to actually have matches and not just shitty little things. Like, don't just throw away, like, something they've clearly worked on. Like, they really need to embrace it a lot more.
They haven't really gotten into the Adam Rose shifting into Leo Kruger really aggressive bit of the character yet.
Yeah, they did that, like, they tried doing that once, but it, against Jack Swagger. But it wasn't, like, full on.
No,
I mean when he, I don't know if you've seen him as Leo Kruger, mm-hmm. Marcy.
Yeah,
he was a lot more aggressive.
Than yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
He was more like a that would make JBL flinch.
That that was a hell of a clothesline 2 weeks ago that Harper hit JBL with.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I was thinking, oh damn, JBL's got to be hurting, but he's got to be proud of that big dude. Mm,
he would yeah. be.
Now, Bo Dallas. I am loving
Bo leave.
He's got to tone up that midsection if he's going to do that victory lap around that ring, because that thing's jiggling like crazy.
Can I just point out, and I think we need to take a moment to appreciate this, Bo Dallas's face gets uglier every week. I don't know how this happens.
I like to say he's got a bad case of the derps.
Derp, derp. But seriously, like, every week he just looks uglier, and it's amazing. Like, I look at him from, like, 3 years ago. He wasn't that fucking ugly. He just keeps getting uglier. It's amazing. What a talent.
Especially with super positive.
He, I think, like, slowly, it's actually, like, really working. Like, I think he's really winning people over. And was pissing myself, like, I didn't actually have pee coming out, but I was laughing with R-Truth, and he's, like, dancing to What's Up as he's doing his entrance. Oh, my God.
He's a heel that doesn't realize he's a heel.
Exactly. That's what makes it, like, really work.
And him on NXT last week as Mr. NXT.
Oh, my God. Oh my. And, like, the comedy. He's, like, trying to hold onto the ring.
That's the other great gift going right now is Sami Zayn giving him the big thumbs up.
I need that. Can you send that to me?
Yeah, I'll send that to you. I got it.
Now, Sami Zayn's one of those guys that can make comedy work in a match and not be so just funny. A pure comedy act.
Yeah.
My only beef with Sami Zayn is a freaking hack, and he stole everything he had from El Generico in Mexico. And if Generico wasn't in Mexico with those orphans right now, he would kick his ass.
Speaking of Sami Zayn, let's talk about, because I think, like, come on, Bo Dallas is, like, I think he's gonna, you know, do pretty well, but let's talk about who we want to see called up next, and obviously I'm on the Sami Zayn train, like, I'm actually waiting, like, today for my freaking Inzayn t-shirt to arrive.
Yeah,
come on.
He could be. He's got the potential of being the. I don't like using this comparison very well, but I can't think of a better one. He's got the potential of being the next Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
Mm.
He's got that likability factor. He's got that underdog factor.
Exactly.
He's got the amazing moveset.
Yeah.
And he's good on the mic.
As much as WWE doesn't want to say it this way, the reality era is the indie era.
It really is. A lot of their top guys are former indie guys.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You got Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, who, well, he's done.
Maybe,
most likely.
Hockey's over, so he's probably coming back soon. There's a funny CM Punk that meme, like that game Watch Dogs that's going on now where you can hack people's cell phones and it takes place in Chicago. There's a meme going around of basically it's like someone hacked CM Punk's phone. So it's a CM Punk occupation Walking Dead analyst. Income zero.
Jesus.
I laughed when I saw that.
Oh, man. Anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah, like...
I could see the Ascension getting called up soon.
Yeah, yep. Like, I think, like, because, like, Sami Zayn has been, like, traveling with the main roster, like, I keep saying, like, there is a strong possibility that he will be called up. I don't know, like, how they'll do it. Stop saying, like, I watch too much Total Divas because they all say, like, constantly.
Oh, my God.
Like...
Total Divas.
Like, so, yeah, I really want to see that. And, yeah, I think the best way for the Ascension to come in is, yeah, the Wyatts as faces with the tag titles.
I could see that.
Like that. I mean, stop saying like! Fucking hell, Marcy.
Faces, heels. I just want to see them face the Wyatts. I don't give a That'd damn who's badass. Face or heel at this point. I just want to see that collision.
I can see them bringing in Enzo and Colin as Santino's cousins.
I could see that. big Cass.
Yep.
The Colin guy Cassidy. Is huge. What the fuck?
Soft. Kenta. That's who. He's not even WWE yet, but I want him on that main roster when Daniel Bryan comes back.
The matches he could have against Bryan are, oh my God, every match is going to be like a match of the year candidate.
The originator of the go to sleep.
Yeah, the originator of Daniel Bryan's knee strike.
Yep. That would be a hell of a story of it. If Daniel Bryan gets the title back, he's got to be the mercenary that the authority would bring in to take out Daniel Bryan.
See, that could work.
That's why they call me the brain.
That's exactly right. And we've mentioned like how we have mentioned how Adrian Neville has been traveling with the main roster, and I want to see him there. I really want to see it work because he's insane.
When he does that spot where he just flips over and over and over across the ring. Like super fast.
It's insane.
That's like a special effect.
You know, there's a lot of possibility, like for who they can call up. I think the roster is just so loaded, and I guess we'll see what happened.
You know who's not going to be called up to the roster anytime soon?
Camacho.
Mojo Riley. He failed his wellness policy. Too much hype.
Mojo Riley sucks.
That's a terrible joke, but I said it anyway.
I don't see the appeal in him.
I'm not hype. Really, I am hype.
I was actually really glad to see Rusev at TakeOver just destroy him.
On this week's Little Bit Self-Promotion, Multiverse 5 podcast, in the background music, I basically remixed Rusev's theme with Zangief from Street Fighters.
Nice.
Awesome. So let's wrap up this like big whole section. We did like touch on the best matches that we've seen. I think you can just add, like, NXT TakeOver in there as well.
Yeah.
But let's talk about, like, who we think is in, like, the most valuable player of the last few weeks.
Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins.
That's my pick, too.
I don't see how anyone can disagree with Seth Rollins.
No.
His turn, that's the biggest story to hit WWE for a little while now. And he's just been... He's been nailing it.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Like, I said it again. He's been awesome. And yeah, he would definitely be my pick.
Rusev's up there. The medal, the ceremony, the pomp, the circumstances, everything, it really makes me want Kurt Angle back in the WWE, because think of how, imagine if freaking like Rusev lays out an open challenge and Angle's theme freaking hits, that place would freaking erupt.
Oh my god, yes.
It's what happened. That's why I'm really surprised they're not turning Swagger with this, because with all the pro Russia stuff, Zeb doesn't have any problem with that.
Yeah, right. The story just kind of writes itself.
Like, I would even have Hogan turn Jack Swagger into Mr. America too. Seriously, imagine Swagger with the mask, the red, white, and blue boas doing the ah.
That would be freaking hilarious.
I think they need to do more with Rusev. Especially
if Zeb comes out with a mask on.
They really need to do just. I'm sick of seeing Rusev in like a second match. Like, come on, do something more. It's getting boring. And he's good talent.
It's weird, they're putting this big push to Rusev, but then he's in the Battle Royal and he gets eliminated. Like, he shouldn't even be that thing, man. He should just be tearing through everybody.
He looked good in the Battle Royal. I'll give him that. I mean, he was throwing guys out. He just went up against the runaway freight train that is Roman Reigns.
Is it bad that I wanted him to do that super kick to Kevin Hart?
No. In fact, I think you'd probably kick clean over that little dude's head.
How short is he? Jesus. I think Hornswoggle's taller than he is.
I mean, that was just ridiculous.
He's little Jimmy.
Yeah, back to Rusev, I totally little Jimmy. But back to the Rusev thing, I mean, if done right, he can be a legitimate monster for the WWE. Mm. I mean, he's one of the most athletic big guys they've ever had.
I love they did the whole thing with the hacks on the board.
Yeah, that was pretty badass. I mean, you look at the dude. I saw the dude a few weeks ago at Monday Night Raw. He really is that big. He's huge in person. Granted, that segment bored the shit out of me because it's just him getting a fucking medal. But
that's what made it work, because everyone was expecting him to get
interrupted. Someone to run in, yeah.
My other highlight
went. It didn't work for the crowd at the audience in there. I'll tell you that much.
Anytime Rusev's theme hits, angry flag waving. He's waving the shit out of that flag.
And the thing is, Big E, he could have a good match with the guy.
That was that happened at Turning Point, wasn't it? Or Takeover?
Payback.
Yep. That was a huge spear from Big E and Rusev.
Yeah, to the outside. That was pretty darn good.
Shall we move on then?
Yep, let's move on.
All right, so what is... God, how am I even saying these things? As of the recording of this podcast, some big current news items. Obviously, Daniel Bryan is out with he had neck surgery, and I think the company kind of expected him back sooner than what he was ready. So that's why the title's been stripped and they're having the Money in the Bank like title match. And I think what we can hope for is like a big SummerSlam return. I think keep him off the next pay-per-view, even if he's ready.
Yep. I'll tell you what, when he comes back, yeah, I think you're probably right. When he comes back, I mean, the crowd is just going to go apeshit.
Oh, yeah, it'd be insane.
What if Brian just shows up out of nowhere at Money in the Bank, runs up, grabs the titles, and runs through the crowd with them?
Was that not funny?
What if he's a surprise entry in the second one, if he's ready? I mean, it could all be a swerve. We don't know. I mean, there's them stripping him. I mean, that really was his doctor that they showed on
screen. Yeah, it was, yeah.
But it could... I don't know. That something about that interview that he gave felt a kind of little bit, I don't know, forced? Fake? It just...
Yeah,
or it could just be him not being used to being on camera.
Well, it's probably that, you know. And like, keep saying, like, he's been off, his wife's been off because she quit and slapped Stephanie.
Yet she's still on Total Divas, but don't pay attention to that.
Yeah, so we'll see if anything, like, happens there. And, yeah, I guess there's kind of been, like, the news swirling around about Kurt Angle as well, which I think we would all kind of be excited if he did return, because that would be funny.
Oh, I'll be the first person to start screaming, you suck.
You suck. Even, yeah.
Well, you suck. That's what I think WWE needs to do. Like, they've got so much power on one side with the authority. There needs to be some type of balance. Like, the board of directors needs to appoint someone to kind of counterbalance. Like an authority figure, why not have like Kurt Angle, or why not have someone to make decisions that Triple H and Stephanie aren't going to like, but just to balance the power?
Well, I could think two people who are associated with WWE, one of which just passed his physical to go touring with them, that would be perfect for that role.
Ric Flair.
That's the one I was just thinking of. And even Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because he did so well in TNA as a general manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let's face it, it was TNA.
TNA, they gave him way too much power behind the scenes.
I would make Big Show the general manager. First thing
he fucking did was bring the Nasty Boys on. That ain't happening in WWE.
I would make Big Show the general manager and just have him come out every week in white suits and become the friggin' kingpin. What else are you going to do with him? He's done everything. Going to make him cry again?
Yes, let's make him cry, please.
I'll just be happy if he punches people in the mouth.
Yep.
That's all he needs to do for me. Mm. Hell, I can even see Vince coming back on screen as the counter authority.
That could happen. Something.
It's just when it's the bad authority figures, the evil authority figures that just persist for so long, it gets to a point of just fucking do something else already.
Tie it into reality and have basically the board of directors or whoever the investors say, look, WWE's lost all this money. We need a voice of some kind.
Oh, I just actually got a perfect idea, but he's probably way too busy. Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, he's hilarious. He can work the mic like nobody's business, and if he needs to, he can throw down.
He's pretty busy with his podcast, and Fozzy just dropped another album, so...
Yeah, he's, like, massively busy.
Sting.
He's got some kind of deal, because word broke this week that he is going to be DLC, like, if you pre-order the new WWE 2K15...
Yeah,
it's kind of like what the Ultimate Warrior was last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we all knew, like, that was going to lead to something with him, which it did with Hall of Fame and such and such.
Guaranteed he's Hall of Fame this year.
Oh, I don't see how they couldn't. I've heard rumors that Macho Man Randy Savage is getting inducted this year.
Think they'll induct his whole family like he wanted, or just Macho?
I don't know how much he wanted that or how much it's Lanny Poffo saying it.
True.
I mean, Lanny Poffo, well, what the fuck did he ever do?
A lot. He was the genius.
Yeah. And?
The genius. Okay. He had Frisbee. And poems on Frisbees and a giant penis and... I don't know.
If you're going to mention the word giant penis, you have to mention Seth Rollins. Rollins.
Oh, okay.
Okay, for those of the people that are listening that don't understand where this is coming from, Marcy happened to stumble across a picture a couple of weeks ago of Seth Rollins in the small classic tights.
But they were it was like underwear. It was like he was in his underwear. They were very revealing underwear. His
bulge was so big that it looked like he had a freaking third leg in there.
She was impressed by the size of his shield.
There you go.
So basically, yeah, the point of conversation has just been Seth Rollins fight, though.
It's been funny, though. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. I've been laughing my ass off at that.
We've so noticed he's got a limp in his step now.
So moving on.
Moving on. Yeah.
Who won the pool for JTG being fired?
I forgot he was still with the company.
Yeah.
Everyone did.
Yeah, that's the other big news thing. WWE did a whole bunch of releases.
Future Endeavored.
They got Future Endeavored. And I think, honestly, the most shocking thing is the death of 3MB.
Yes. Surprising.
3MB has left the building.
Like, I mean, you know, Drew McIntyre is, like, you know, the most talented one, and you see him get let go, but they've never had anything for him.
He was doing friggin' table bumps.
For a midget,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if anything, this leaves Team 3MB for King of Trios from Chikara this year.
Remember when Drew McIntyre was the chosen one? Yeah, neither does he.
It's tragic. Like, 3MB lasted, what, 2 years, and then it's gone.
I always thought 3MB could have been a lot better, but just get rid of Jinder and put someone else in there.
Now, yeah, Jinder Mahal brought nothing. I mean, that guy was just meh. I will say this, though. I think Mike is on to something. 3MB died. So Clem Layfield can live.
Yes.
If this doesn't happen, I will cry myself to sleep every night.
JBL's idiot nephew, Clem.
Really? It has to happen. That has to happen.
So somebody call his mom up. Brodus Clay got fired. He was amongst the Future Endeavored.
Yeah, he hadn't been seen for so long.
Well, they kind of killed him when, I mean, they brought him out as the Funkasaurus. I knew he had a short shelf life at that point. Because, yeah. I mean, the promos before that were leading towards him being like a monster. And then, well, he's just a dancing jackass in tights.
But he's the main event player.
He wishes.
He couldn't even get a match on main event.
No, he couldn't. Oksana got fired, which, well, got rid of the worst talented diva in WWE by a long shot.
Which is weird, because she'd been on TV, like, quite a lot lately as well.
She's kind of relevant now that you got Lana.
Yeah.
And I will say this, now that I wish that Cameron would have got Future Endeavored with her, because, oh my god, when your best move is a fucking slap, you have no business in the freaking wrestling ring.
Nope. Evan Bourne, people, I guess they realized they still had him under contract, so he's gone.
Yeah, didn't he have like a car accident? That's why he's like been missing.
But he's been in phenomenal shape. Like, have you seen some of his Instagram photos? He's like jacked. He was just, they had nothing for him.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Teddy Long. That one kind of surprised me.
Now hold on to that, player. You got 11 people released. That's 5 tag team matches. You hear me?
Well, Teddy Long, I mean, he used to be a great manager back in the day.
He was like the best.
Right. Remember when he was Mark Henry and Rodney Mack's managers?
My favorite move of his was when he would throw the shoe in to break the count.
And to this day, one of the nicest people that I've met. Like, what a nice dude.
I can totally believe that. I mean, he seems just genuine.
He really is. I will miss him, but I think, you know, if it's time for him to, like, retire, it's time for him to retire. They really had nothing for him. They just didn't use him.
Well, he's been in the business for 30 years, so.
Yeah. I guess Mark Henry put a tweet up that just saying that he'd been in the WWE for like so many years, and I guess what's his name?
Kurt Hawkins.
Kurt Hawkins said, "Mark, you're an idiot. 11 people got released." What? I guess
yeah,
he didn't realize.
Kind of bad timing on Mark Henry's part. Kurt Hawkins. He's another guy who had a lot of talent, but just They had nothing for him.
That gimmick he had, like, in NXT, I just thought that was shit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I saw Trent Beretta basically with a tweet saying that to all my fans that have been released, congratulations, you're about to have the most fun of your life wrestling on the indies. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Mm.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I know Kurt Hawkins has already accepted.
He's like, it was right on it. I'm going to fucking get it on it, man.
Yeah, and I thought I saw some indie Brodus Clay play is going to fight Homicide, so that actually might be a good match.
I could see that. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
You know, if they manage to, like, do, like, really good things, there's nothing to say that they wouldn't get rehired at some point. But, you know, the roster is so full, and I definitely think there will be a few more cuts. And we've heard that it could be with, like, some people that just aren't doing much in NXT.
Mm-hmm. Please, Mojo, please, Mojo, please, Mojo.
Let's wrap the show up with our final two segments. You both attended live shows recently with Mike at a Ring of Honor and James at Raw. Just highlight, yes. We'll go with Mike, just highlight what it was like, blah, blah, blah.
Yep. So, yes, I was actually at the recent Ring of Honor Border Wars in Toronto with my fellow Multiverse 5 and Tidy Tight Show compatriots. It was an internet pay-per-view. They had the stars of New Japan Pro Wrestling on there. Mm. So we got to see guys like Jushin Thunder Liger. We got to see my favorite, Suzuki Nakamura. AJ Styles was there with a lot of Carl Anderson of the Bullet Club, which is the best faction that's not in mainstream wrestling right now. Great show. Main event was Adam Cole versus Kevin Steen. We all kind of knew that Kevin Steen wasn't going to win because, well, he is WWE bound.
Mm.
But great pay-per-view. I really like with Ring of Honor what they do is they have all the wrestlers, when the door is open, doing autograph signings.
Yeah.
So they like meet and greets and things like that. It's just that level of more fan interactment.
Mm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was like four rows back. I'm on the rail the entire pay-per-view, so.
Nice.
When Silas Young came out, you could just see me just shit-talking him, just chirping him like crazy. How was your show?
Oh, my show.
Well, you were at the Seth Rollins is going to turn show.
Yeah, so you kind of win there.
Well, the thing is, big things always happen in Indianapolis. I mean, not many people realize that, but, well, The Shield debuted here. I was actually there for it, too. I was there when The Shield died. So it's kind of fitting.
It's all your fault!
So it's all your fault. Thanks!
Yeah, well, hey, I introduced you to The Shield, so you're welcome. But thanks, anyway... Anyway, I got to live a lifelong dream I never knew I had until the night before, where I got to chant Blutista at Blutista.
Woohoo!
I got to see him wave like a freaking prom queen. Got to see him quit. It was a lot of fun. I was about three rows back from the ring. I was real close, right at the entrance that The Shield came out at, no less.
And you didn't think to kidnap Ambrose and Rollins for me and send them to me? Jeez. Thanks, man.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Ambrose is a fucking lunatic.
Yep.
And I've seen him take a saw to the head. Like, yes. An electric saw to the head. I ain't fucking with that guy.
That reminds me, CZW tournament. That reminds me, CZW Tournament Death was actually this past weekend.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. Jude Kasai won the whole thing. And it was fucked up.
I believe it. CZW usually is.
Yes.
But John Moxley used to wrestle there for a long time.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, that was just insane. You wouldn't believe just how bad the crowd. I don't know how it came across on TV, but we were just stunned
yep.
when when Seth Rollins swung that chair for a while, and then finally, oh man, we let him have it. That's one thing that you guys both gotta you understand. It's one thing to see it on TV. It's a whole different thing to experience it in person.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Because that's one thing I love about going to Ring of Honor every time they come to Toronto. It's just the energy of that shitty little hockey arena, the Ted Reeve Arena, where they have their shows every single time. Like, this was the most people I've seen in that building. And yeah. When the walls were vibrating, like, we were just chanting right. So long and so hard.
And at my show, it was a much bigger arena. It was the Bankers Life Fieldhouse where the Pacers play. But it was a legit sellout. I don't know. Well, with on TV, you only get to see one side of the crowd, really. But I could tell you, on the other side where the cameras were, oh, it was jam-packed, too. They couldn't squeeze any more in.
And TNA, they only have fans on one side of crowd.
Are you sure they're not cardboard cutouts with, like, tapes for sounds?
I watched this Sunday's TNA pay-per-view. So it was like a hot crowd in Texas, but literally, they made the mistake of showing the other side. There was literally no seats on the one side where the camera was. Everyone was just jammed. Because it looked like a hot crowd. Because it's Texas. And the Von Erichs were wrestling. Like, Kevin Von Erichs' kids were actually wrestling at the pay-per-view. Yeah. But, oh man. When Samoa Joe loses one of the opening matches against Bobby Lashley, that says a lot.
I'm just rolling my eyes, which no one can see right now.
I mean, yes. Don't get me wrong. Bobby Lashley is a legitimate badass.
The main event, actually, because
not that great of a wrestler.
The main event for the pay-per-view was supposed to be MVP versus Eric Young. But MVP legit injured himself like a week before the pay-per-view. So they had to scramble. So they decided the idea of Bobby Lashley versus Samoa Joe and Austin Aries versus Kenny King. And it would be a triple threat in a cage for some reason versus Eric Young. And that match actually wasn't that bad. And it ended with EY hitting an elbow off the top of the cage to retain.
Eric Young's one of the few guys that's still there that I like. I mean, him and Austin Aries and Samoa Joe, that's about it.
It's just unfortunate timing. They're trying to make him Daniel Bryan, but...
Yeah. They are, but, I mean, he deserves any sort of success he gets because he's a legitimate good guy and he's a good wrestler and he's been in the business for a long fucking time without getting recognized. But... I mean, once they started letting go of guys like AJ Styles and Bad Influence, which is
yes,
Christopher Daniels and Kazarian.
Who are back in Ring of Honor, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are three. They may be older now, way too old for WWE to hire them. But they're still three of the best damn wrestlers out there.
Yep.
And TNA I'd be amazed if this time next year we're not talking about them in the past tense.
They announced that the Dudleys are going to be in their Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's
and I just an don't honor. Care.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Because everybody takes that shit seriously. One last thing. I mean, I got to get one last ribbon on TNA because, god damn it, they suck. They're actually going out trying to ask, how many sides should our ring be?
I saw that today. I'm like, really?
I say go back to the six sides. It's what made them unique.
I say they go to no sides and go out of business.
And just die in a fire like John Cena.
It's my turn to be heel, bitch. Fuck TNA. Fuck everything about TNA. Dixie Carter can take it up the ass for all I care. I do not like that organization at all.
There is some good stuff in TNA. Rockstar Spud is hilarious with EC3.
I don't hold it against the wrestlers. Yeah. I don't like the bookers. I don't like the booking. I don't like the way it's done. I don't like how just it suddenly drops whatever momentum they've got to go to something else. It's stupid.
Well, I think that
no sense.
The writing on the wall for TNA, they basically booked a Hammerstein ballroom for like 3 days for TV tapings. If they can't fill that, if they can't fill that, then they're in big trouble because Ring of Honor is sellout every single time that they go to that building.
I've been to the Hammerstein ballroom for ECW shows. I've seen that place sell out. That's not a big arena.
Yeah, because Ring of Honor had like a second show a week later. From it was in Toronto the one Saturday. The next Saturday was International Wars, and that's where you got the real New Japan versus Ring of Honor show, where ours was just more New Japan guys fought New Japan guys, and that place was a freaking sellout.
I could believe it. I mean, just better run.
Yep.
Better wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Start to close out the show. And as we did last time.
Aw, we're having fun!
Yeah. we are going to have our Legends of Wrestling segment where we will each pick a wrestling legend and just praise them for how awesome they are. I will go first because I've chosen Pat Patterson. And we've seen him recently in Legends House, and he decided to unleash the biggest secret that everyone knew, was that he was a gay man.
I want to be real! I want to be me!
Yeah. Look, I love...
You didn't see that one coming.
I love this guy. I think he's absolutely just phenomenal. He's always been an amazing guy. I think, you know, because was born, I think, 1941. So, you know, living as he did back then, that's, you know, being gay is not something that people would come out with. So I think just because of how he obviously would have, grown up and just the time he come from, it's not something that's easy to just be so, open about. So as it was, I think, him actually being able to do it on the show is really good. And I think other people will, be able to see that and take something away from it.
That's fair. And I do totally respect him for that. I mean, that takes a lot of courage to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just.
We all knew. Obviously.
Who didn't know this?
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah. This is old news. I mean, I do realize Legends House was filmed back in 2012. But I'm pretty sure I knew this before then.
Yeah, I don't think that, at least in the WWE, they've ever acknowledged it.
That's true. I don't think they ever have.
I think JR's made a joke once or twice. Like when one time when, was it Patterson and Briscoe were in drag?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Stooges.
Yes.
They were great.
And who didn't love the Stooges?
I love the Stooges. I loved watching Austin whip their ass each and every week.
But, you know, he's had, such a long career, and he's always done some pretty awesome stuff.
First ever Intercontinental Champion.
He was. And something that was on the network that in the street fight, or however they wanted to put it, with Sergeant Slaughter from the early 80s.
Yeah.
Is something just magical. And... you know, he's been credited with inventing the Royal Rumble match.
Yep, I was just about to say that.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's contributed so much.
And for everything he's done in the ring, he's done 10 times that much behind the scenes.
Mm.
And he's been one of their agents for years.
Mm. Absolutely.
I got nothing but respect for that man.
Yeah, and I don't know what else to say. I just think he's pretty damn awesome.
I think you're right.
Mm. So we'll go to Mike, who is your legend.
I'm going to go Bruiser Brody. Because nice. Luke Harper is a modern... they could easily make him into a modern Bruiser Brody. Bruiser Brody was always a guy that... huge respect in the industry, but he was an individual... no one ever told him anything he didn't want to do. from Japan to like the AWA to like World Class to Memphis, whether it was King Kong Brody or Bruiser Brody. He was a wild man. Like, in, if you look at some of the classic matches on YouTube, like him in Japan, just throwing that chain around and threatening to hit Japanese guys, and just that physical style to what he, like, there would be no strong style if it wasn't for Bruiser Brody. And it really is kind of sad, the fact that the way he died in Puerto Rico, really sad and tragic.
Yeah, it is. I always loved Bruiser Brody. I mean, I've always loved the big Smash Mouth guys, and you don't get any more Smash Mouth than Bruiser Brody.
And supposedly, like, away from the ring, he was the most chill guy too. He didn't drink that much. He didn't party with that crowd.
Yeah.
He actually he was learning like stuff like away from the ring, like TV production. Like, there's a really rare interview with him on YouTube that you can find of just him talking. He's like a really smart guy. You would never think from just that persona with the big furry boots and the big hair and scarred forehead.
He did have that. His matches tended to get very bloody.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Luke Harper, he's like almost like a carbon copy of, he could be the next big thing.
I could see that. I mean, honestly, I see a little bit of that, of his Bruiser Brody's mannerisms in Eric Rowan as well.
Yeah.
And just the way that he just grabs someone, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just the manhandling about it, like just the sheer viciousness in it.
Yeah, I saw Luke Harper wrestle in person when Chikara came to Toronto the one time, and he's a big dude.
Yeah, he is. I saw both of them on Monday Night Raw. Both him and Rowan are huge.
They look huge.
They are. They're even bigger than they look on TV. I mean, they're like both like 6'8", 6'9". I mean, they're giants.
Yeah.
All right, I guess that leaves me.
Your turn, yeah.
My legend is a lot more recently known. I'm going with Adam Edge Copeland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fellow Canadian.
Fellow Canadian from Toronto, no less. He's just one of those guys who's just a once-in-a-lifetime talent.
Yeah.
He came out of nowhere and just started doing everything he could for WWE. I mean, he was in the undercard for quite a while until he and Christian started teaming up. And his TLC matches with Team M Christian against the Hardys and the Dudleys, those are some of the greatest matches wrestling has ever seen. I mean, they shortened his career.
Yeah.
But on top of that, I mean, once he moved on from that and started going on his own, that's when he just really reinvented himself and managed to constantly do that over and over again. And most wrestlers, they can't do that. I mean, they get stuck in a gimmick. They cannot find a way out of it. He became the rated R superstar who immediately became like must-watch TV. Because he just didn't give a fuck. I mean, I remember watching him spear Bueller McGillicuddy at ECW One Night Stand 2006. And this woman's like half his size at that.
When he speared Foley at the WrestleMania through the flaming table.
Oh, damn. Yeah. That was an amazing moment. I've seen him, again, here in Indianapolis in person, get choke slammed through the ring in a Hell in a Cell match from The Undertaker. I mean, the guy was just not afraid to take a bump, which really, really kind of it shortened his career because, unfortunately, he got that spinal stenosis. And now, if he takes a single bump, he could either, at best, be paralyzed for life. At worst, it could kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think his career flamed bright, and he just made the most of every moment he had in that ring, and I respect the hell out of that. And how can you not like someone who went out victorious, last match ever at WrestleMania, holding the world championship.
And I cried.
Daniel Bryan!
Yeah, but he's
I'm not convinced still. He's done yet.
Yeah. I cried when he announced his retirement. It was the most heartbreaking thing.
It came out of nowhere. Nobody knew it. I mean, it was literally the next night.
Do either of you guys watch Haven's TV show?
No.
Yes. I watch it occasionally. He's pretty good on it, actually.
I would actually cast him as Barry Allen in the Flash TV show.
Yeah, I can see that. He's a little bit big, but... Yeah.
I think he could be, like, a mentor kind of thing in something like that.
I would just like to see him actually, because he's still young enough, I'd like to see him come back on WWE TV. It's just some role where he doesn't have to take... What's
your
that?
That's your counter-authority.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, Edge is perfect for a counter-authority, in fact.
Mm.
And he gave the finger to anyone that told him what to do. You don't know me.
It would be nice.
You think you know me?
You think you know me?
Yeah, you think you know me, eh? But you really don't.
Eh. I went out in a boat yesterday.
And I gotta say this, until Roman Reigns has come out of the swinging, Edge gave my favorite spear.
Yeah, I think Roman has edged him out on it now, because that thing is insane.
File that.
Nice pun. I like that.
File that under pun.
Yeah, I'd say Roman definitely has the best spear now. But
and you can see my list of the top WWE finishing moves on supermarcy.com.
Nice.
Shameless self-promotion.
Yes.
Well, it's their website.
Damn straight. So I think that wraps us up. So we will do our selfless shame promotion once again, where you can find us. So obviously you can find us at supermarcy.com. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/sm.com/superpodcast. You can follow my Twitter account at twitter.com/supermarcy. You can send me mail if you like. You can send it to marcy@supermarcy.com. If you want to send hate mail, you send that to Bede from Super Podcast, because you don't send it to me. He's terrible. He's the one that deserves it. Ching. You can go to the website, check out all our wrestling stuff that we put up, which we review Raw and SmackDown every week. We will occasionally do, just random posts about it, like I did the top my favorite finishes at the moment. We'll review the pay-per-views, so there's lots of wrestling stuff on there, as well as lots of film stuff, so be sure to check that all out. And you can also find some of my other reviews if you go to morehorror.com, and I've just started back up at monsterpictures.com as the Monster's Eye. And James, where can we find you?
Well, you can find me at Rebellion Reborn on Twitter. You can find me writing several fine articles for supermarcy.com every week. And starting later this week, you'll start seeing me pop up on from DuskTillCon.com writing for them as well. And I host the Joe Blow Sunday Night Movie Chat every week on Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. At moviefancentral.com.
And Mike, where can we find you?
Multiverse 5 is kicking up again. The thing's been relaunched more times than I can count, but we are going to try and get back on a regular schedule. You can find us on everywhere at Multiverse 5. You can join our Facebook group at Multiverse 5 for more just geeky stuff in comics, movies, television, gaming, and professional wrestling. My other wrestling show, The Tiny Height Show, is kind of on hiatus, so I am available anytime you guys need me.
All right.
And I just got a parcel, and I think it's my Inzane Sami Zayn shirt.
Oh,
just
nice.
In time to finish the show, and I'm going to go have a shower and then put it on.
I'm like a cockroach, so you guys can't get rid of me now.
No. No. You're here to stay forever and ever. Yeah. Till death do us part.
If you want me, I'm here.
You are more than welcome. And
my nickname, you're here.
Yeah. Nice. We will hopefully be back in a couple of weeks to talk Money in the Bank, and I'm sure we will have Mike back on because we like him. I don't know why, but we do.
Me and Rebellion, we can really talk more of the indies.
Yes.
Because I like to say there's more to wrestling than the WWE Universe. There's a pro wrestling multiverse out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And true. That is things like Google are for, because you can watch it all online.
And unfortunately involves TNA, but we can't really help it.
We would just ignore that.
We can make fun of it.
Yeah, I feel bad, but honestly, they saw what WCW did and were like, we should do that, but only worse.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to apologize for my craziness because I'm sick and I go stupid when I'm sick.
Blame me.
It's all your fault.
I bring it out of people.
Yeah.
Damn it, Mike. Right.
That's right, brother.
All right. Now, before I start putting people in camel clutches and breaking backs and making people humble, we are out of here. So my goal is that we'll be back in a couple of weeks. So fingers crossed, knock on wood. Until next time, I've been good old Super Marcy. And James has been very mean. And Mike has had the brain.
Win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat.
Yes.
All right.
And with that, I will say adios. Ciao. Catch you later.